Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
The Franchise Geeks present Social Geek Radio. Hello geeks, I'm Jack Munson, your social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, Answer Connect, and the Better Software Company. The Better Software Company has everything you need to take control of franchise operations with a software solution that does it all. Control your brand, support your franchisees, track leads, and take your sales and customer service to the next level with a CRM designed specifically for franchises. The Better Software Company believes that building better franchises means making it easy for franchisees to be successful. Learn more today at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. That's thebettersoftwarecompany.com. Okay, geeks, we have an old friend of the show joining us today to talk about his journey in franchising his business and how that may apply to you and your business. It's Josh Cohen, CEO and founder of Junk Luggers. Hey, Josh, how are you?
Hey, Jack. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
I want to get into the story of franchising a business, but let's take a little step back even before that. Before you got into Junk Luggers, tell me your story. What were you doing before then?
I was in diapers.
Company you said this week is your 15th anniversary of Junk Luggers, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So you really must have been in diapers or maybe grade school.
Well, people make fun of my young face, so they say I must have been in diapers, and that's what I say. But I was young. Yeah, I was 21. I was
21 when you started Junk Luggers. So, what was the spark that made you want to do that?
Well, you know, I'm surprised that everybody doesn't want to get into the junk business at 21. I was on a path to be in real estate, in commercial real estate. You know, I was dating a girl at the time. Her dad was very successful. He was mentoring me, and I was reading every book there you could find on that. And it just so happened I was in a study abroad in my junior year of college, heading into my senior year. And I met a bunch of friends. Somebody kind of said casually around a campfire, we were drinking boxed wine at the time, and they said, you know, his neighbor, he hauled away his neighbor's refrigerator for $100. And to me at the time, $100 was a ton of money.
Oh yeah, that's a lot of boxed wine right there, $100.
Oh yeah, a lot of boxed wine. And it just stuck with me. And I said, why can't I do that? And so I went home, finished the study abroad, printed up some flyers for my parents' computer. 21-year-old college student wants to help you haul away your junk and separate things to be donated to Goodwill, to be recycled, and then the rest, you know, dumped. And I literally just started going door to door, handing out the flyers in my neighborhood and around town and literally wherever I went. If I saw somebody, I was giving them a flyer with my information on it, and the word started to spread.
That's some one-on-one marketing right there, literally handing out flyers in the neighborhood.
That's right, and especially when I look like I'm 14, people are like, oh, what a nice, ambitious little boy.
Yeah, and could you lift a refrigerator at that point? Like, how are you going to do this job, kid, right? So that was... Right. So that was more than 15 years ago, but let's jump ahead to when you started Junk Luggers. Were you franchising initially, or did that come quite a bit later?
No, we waited a while, and I kept wanting to wait until I really felt like we had worked out the systems. Mm-hmm. So we probably waited longer than I know some of our competitors have, or, you know, people may wait to get into franchising. We waited almost 10 years. And really spent that time building up the first location, then adding five other locations in and around New York City and all the markets around there, as company-owned locations, until I decided there had to be a better way.
So you spent about 10 years just in New York, where literally if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. And those
I would sing that to myself.
Yeah. and so those did, I'm going to guess that if those were successful, it provided a lot better validation than if you would have jumped into it in, you know, let's say year two.
Yeah. I mean, there's just, you know, even in a relatively simple business like this, where you're picking junk up and then you're finding other places to bring it, there's a lot of details in between to make the business run well. And I had to learn how to run a central call center, how to effectively market the business, how to effectively sell the business on site, train people, bring on a management team, you know, all the things that today and more that we support and help our franchisees to deal with, to cut out a lot of that learning curve.
And how did you learn that? Were you reading and consuming everything you could, or did you find some people who've, you know, been there and made a few mistakes and helped you around some landmines?
Yeah, I mean, all of the above. I had a few different business coaches along the way who I really, you know, got a lot from and helped to accelerate the learning process just because of their experience and their outside view. Mm-hmm. I've made a ton of mistakes and continue to and try to learn from them.
best teacher right there, mistakes.
That's right. School of hard knocks. And yeah, I've read a ton of books, and if you come into my office here in Stamford, Connecticut, you'll see a big bookshelf full of business books. And I was talking to my wife the other day and she was suggesting I read a book. And I said, I haven't read anything besides a business book in the last 12 years, 15 years. I don't know if I can do it.
Right. How do you read fiction anymore? I don't know. Who has time for that? So when you decided to start, you're kind of pulling all of this in, all of this information and getting some advice. What was really the first step in order to franchise the business? And let's say after you already had your company owned locations doing quite well, what was really the first thing you jumped into?
Yeah. And also I think we should, you know, just to hit on the company owned locations, it's an important thing to point out is that we got them to a level of success, mm-hmm. but once we franchised them and had local franchise owners with skin in the game who could focus on them, they really grew them many multiples of what they were. So I think that's a really important thing to think about for anybody who may be thinking about franchising, has some existing locations, because that is certainly something that we found to be the case. Just going back to your other question, so how do we franchise the business? We spent probably 2 years overthinking it. thinking about filling out there's a really long survey to get your franchise agreement completed with a whole bunch of information you need to think about and fill out. But finally, what we did was we hired a franchise attorney who promised the moon and the stars and frankly didn't really deliver on that. And so we eventually were able to get it through when I hired a franchise consultant, mm-hmm. SMB. Franchise consultants, Steve Beagleman was who we've used, as well as iFranchise Group. And they really just help us to complete our franchise agreement, which is what you need to be in franchising, to put together an operations manual for the franchise partners, to think through projections and goals in order to, you know, figure out what we need to get to in order to be successful in terms of number of franchise partners and revenue. They helped us iron out our marketing plans for the franchisees, as well as for franchise development to find other good franchise partners. So I found that was some of the best money I ever spent, was to bring in an industry expert who could hold our hand and walk us through it and just get us there. Because really what we needed to do to get into franchising was get good people who knew what they were doing in franchising, but just to get started. And it wasn't until we got started where we really started to learn what it was about and to make tweaks in our support system so we can continue to see our franchisees be successful.
What was the time period after you brought in Steve Beagleman and maybe some other resources until you were really up and running and selling franchises the right way?
About 6 months.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's a nice short window. That's great.
Yeah.
And then after you got the first one going, was it just sort of like dominoes falling, or did it get more difficult and complex after the first one, or was that sort of like the main hurdle?
Yeah, I got hit with a fire hose. We did. the first few partners that we brought on, we quickly realized that the first two, it really wasn't a great fit for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
We had people who, I think we didn't manage their expectations properly and thought that it was a plug and play where they could get in and sit back on their couch and the business run for itself and grow itself. And so that was a big learning lesson there. And just, you know, how I think we learned a lot about who is the right franchise partner for us. What are some of the traits and qualities? You know, we want people who want to be aggressive, want to grow the business, who can communicate well with us and really be a partner, who are results driven and who have maybe some proven results in their life, or have something to prove. We look for people who have a good head on their shoulders, have a good support network, have at least the right amount of capital behind them so that they can get through that startup period, which, you know, in any business, you know, that could be 3 months, or it could be, you know, in our case, it could be 3 months to a year typically.
Yeah.
So people need to be able to withhold that.
But letting those first couple of franchisees go that weren't a good fit, that's got to be tough, right? Because you're kind of in that, you know, I call it the baby please don't go phase, where they're not a good fit, but they're here.
Yeah, it was really tough. And I take it very personally when a partner comes on board and they're investing, you know, in these cases, life savings in the business. And so we dragged it on and on and on, and it continued to be a difficult situation for everybody until finally a couple of years ago, we were able to help both of them to sell their businesses to more fitting partners. And it was really a win-win for everybody in the end.
Oh, that's good. Good. That's a happy ending right there.
As happy as it could be. Yeah.
But, you know, I like what you said too about, you know, you take it so personal, because especially when you're at that stage, you're not selling a business or a concept. You're selling yourself. You know, there's a lot of Josh Cohen in Junk Lovers. I'd say, at least on startup, you pretty much are the brand, right?
Right.
And definitely. And promoting yourself and how your business is going to operate is really what someone is investing is, you know, not so much just some name, but it's really you. So yeah, of course you're going to take it personal. So let's jump ahead to after you figured out kind of who the best profile or some of the best folks with similar mindsets are. What did that look like? Were you still working with consultants and things like that, or did you kind of jump into you know, bringing on lots more partners in a short amount of time?
We took it, we stutter steps. So during that first year, we realized we had some things to improve. We slowed down the development process. Didn't take on any new partners for a good 6 months, and just worked on our systems and improved quite a bit. And you know, over the years, we've added 5 to 10 partners per year, which has been a manageable number for us. And I think as we look forward, we really continue to develop our team and our systems, and we're looking to really add like 15 to 20 new partners in the coming 12 months.
Got it. For some folks who were in that phase where you were between, you know, 10 to 15 years ago, where you've got a business and you haven't franchised it yet, let's give them some advice. What would be sort of the first thing if you were the advisor now sitting down with them and they wanted to franchise their business? What would be the first thing you would tell them to do?
You know, I would advise them to get involved in franchising, whether it's joining the IFA, And I would say and rather than or. So
yeah.
And meeting other people in franchising, I'm sure, you know, Jack, you can relate to this. People in franchising are typically very generous with their time to give advice, right?
Yep.
If you can hire someone who's got good franchise experience and results behind them, I think that would be really a very good move. And I'd be careful and I would get a lot of references because I think as willing as people are in franchising to offer support, I've also found there's a lot of people who you want to filter through and make sure it's a good fit and they can deliver on their promises. There's a lot of people out there selling you things in franchising as well. So being careful about who you choose and getting their background and understanding is important because that first year, that first couple of years in franchising, in a lot of ways is a make or break, and you want to get out there and you want to execute well. Or you're going to spend a lot of time backing up and improving the system and slowing things down. I think more than anything, franchising I have found is a pretty unique ecosystem. There's specific challenges that I wasn't aware of and didn't think about when I was just in, you know, my own junk removal business, and certainly realizing that if this is what you want to do, if you're going to get into franchising, be prepared to focus on franchising and pull yourself out of the day-to-day operations of your existing business, because it's just very difficult to do both typically.
Excellent advice. And we're going to come back with some connection information for Josh Cohen. If anybody out there has some questions or would like to get a little free advice from Josh in the near future. But first, this message from Answer Connect. Imagine your customers and potential customers receiving a live person every time they call and never getting voicemail. Answer Connect is making that happen with a team of professional, upbeat, friendly customer service experts ready to impress your callers and deliver your messages around the clock. Answer Connect works with franchise systems, enterprise brands, and small businesses who all need phones answered 24/7 in any time zone, a virtual receptionist, inbound sales calls handled, appointments scheduled, or even HIPAA-trained customer service. Call Answer Connect at 800-584-0234. That's 800-584-0234, or visit answerconnect.com/franchise. Josh, in the couple minutes we have left, let's share some contact information. If people have some more questions for you or they'd like a little bit of that free advice that the franchise space is known for, where can they hit you up?
Yeah, so you can email me. My email is josh@junkluggers.com. I will try to respond quickly, although I'm kind of a delinquent on emails. So I'll try to queue up with that. On LinkedIn, my username on LinkedIn is JunkLuggerJosh. And our website, which also has a connection to the franchise site, is junkluggers.com.
Cool. We'll put all of those links on Social Geek Radio's webpage so anybody can find those easily. Josh, thanks so much for joining us today and sharing some of your story. And we look forward to chatting again real soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you and good night, everybody.